Like to see a show of hands. How many of you remember the Sunday school song, This Little Light of Mine? Right. I mean, I remember learning that in the musty, creaky basement of the Runville United Methodist Church. And so will you sing that with me? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And do you remember the next verse? Hide it under a bushel, and everyone yells, no, so loud that all of Muncie can hear it. And then the next verse, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. And as a kid, I knew Satan wanted to blow it out. He wanted to snuff out the life in Christ in me, and he still does. Now, if you Google this song, you'll get a list of verses this long. But the next verse that I remember was, shine it all over Runville, which is where the church was. Now, you're not from Runville, but you need to shine your light all over Muncie, all over Watsontown, Clarkstown, Hughesville, Montoursville, Montgomery, wherever you're from. Let it shine. Next verse I remember was, let it shine till Jesus comes. And I knew as a kid that as long as I had breath in my life, in my body, I was to let the light of Jesus shine until I saw him face to face. And the mood of this song wasn't, I have to let my light shine, or I must let my light shine, or I ought to let my light shine, or I should let my light shine. It wasn't this oppressive, authoritarian command like, and the Lord saith unto Moses, thou shalt let thy light shine. No, this was a positive thing. I didn't have to let my light shine, but I wanted to let it shine. I wanted to be the light of Christ. And it was with that kind of enthusiasm that we approach our gospel text this morning, which comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. At this time, Jesus was hanging around Capernaum, where Peter and James and John grew up and where they were living. And Capernaum sat right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And not far away, these three hills just seemed to grow right up out of the sea. And it was on one of these hills, we're not quite sure which one, but on one of these that Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount. So picture the disciples sitting on the side of this mountain, and they're looking at Jesus, and behind them the Sea of Galilee is sparkling in the sunlight. Up on that mountain, some people kind of thought of Jesus as the new Moses. As Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments and came down and presented them to the people of God, Jesus is now up on a mountain and he's giving them new commands. He's giving them a new understanding about mercy and justice and righteousness and living. These are new ways that Christians should be living with one another. It's a new set of guidelines that to be a Christian, you got to do more than just follow the Ten Commandments. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you and you and you and you, you are the light of the world, each and every one of you. A city set up on a hill cannot be hidden, and a lamp that is lit in the house isn't put under a bushel or a basket. No, it's you put it up on a lampstand or up on a shelf so that it illuminates the whole house. Jesus said, let your light shine so that all people will see your good works, your works of love. You and you and you and you and you. Let your light shine. Let it shine. In our heads we sing, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So let's dig into this text a little bit. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. It means you have God's light inside of you. And a city set up on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither should our discipleship or our faith, our Christianity. We shouldn't be hiding that. People don't light a lamp and at night and then put something over it. They light that lamp so that all can see and that the darkness is dispersed. As the light of God, we are to let our light shine so that others can see our good works of love and that God then is glorified. In Luke 11:36, Jesus said, "Therefore, if the whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be completely lighted, like when a light of a lamp shines on you. You just glow. The light of Jesus shines within us, and it's a great brightness. It's not just a little bit of light of Jesus in us, but it is radiant and it is large." John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light is life. And if we follow Jesus and do his will, then we have that light within us. John 8:36, Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become children of the light," not children of darkness. We don't hide in the shadows, but we're out there where everyone can see us. You are the light of the world. Jesus didn't say you're the light of the church. Scripture doesn't tell us to tell us that when you come to church that you turn on your light. Scripture doesn't tell us that we, you know, when we come to church, we let everyone see our spiritual illumination. When Scripture doesn't say when you gather for a Christian gathering that you should turn on your spiritual energy. No, you are the light of the world. When we leave here today and you go into your neighborhoods or you stop for gas, or tomorrow morning when you get up and you go get your donut and your coffee, or you go to the office or you go to work or you go to school or you go to see your neighbor or whatever you're doing, going to get groceries, let your light shine for Jesus, because you and you and you, you are the light of the world. So let it shine that people may come to Jesus. Our Christianity is to be visible. It's not, you know, it's to be seen. It's to be noticed, not hidden. People are to know that we are Christians by what we do and what we say and how they see us interacting with one another. As Christians, we're not supposed to hide our faith. And if we're a true Christian, we can't hide our faith, because part of being a disciple is being seen. There should not be any such thing as a closet Christian. At home, at work, at school, on the ball field, our love and discipleship is to be visible. And so I ask you, do people know that you're a Christian? Do your coworkers? Do the people you play pickup sports with? Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? If you were to be brought before a court of law and suspected of being a Christian, and they brought in your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends, would they be able to testify enough that you would be found guilty? In the 17, 18 years I've been in ministry, I've done 134 funerals. That's on average one every other month or every month and a half. And I can't tell you how many times I've been told by family members that their deceased loved one was a believer in God. Oh, yeah, they believed. And then I say, great, tell me about their faith. Tell me their story. And usually I don't get much. If I do, I get, well, they didn't talk about their faith. And no, they didn't go to church, and I never saw them read a Bible, but they were a believer. And I'm not here to question whether or not there was a belief or not, but there is this cultural misunderstanding, especially among older generations of people, that our faith and spirituality are a personal matter not to be spoken of, not to be shared. But my friends, that is wrong. We are the light of the world. We're to let our light shine. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have taught you." He's saying, let it shine. Friends, faith is not a private, personal matter. We are called to share the good news of the love of God, and we need to actively show God's love. We need to use the words of God and words of faith, words like worship and God and integrity and Jesus and morality and righteousness and Bible and mercy and faith and forgiveness and grace and love. These should be all part of our daily vocabulary. Are they part of your daily vocabulary when you're out there in the world? Or do you only use these words on Sunday morning or at a Bible study? Jesus said, He said, so my question is, do you hide your faith? Do you hide your light or do you let it shine? Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, it might as well be thrown on the dung pile because it's worthless. In the same way, if you're hiding your light, if you're hiding your faith, then you might as well blow that light out because you're worthless as a light. You're not illuminating for anyone. Jesus didn't give us his light to light our own path. It's not a solitary journey. He's our light. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But he gives us the light so we can illuminate the way for others, to be a light for others, to draw others. So let your light shine that others may come to Christ. Now, when you let your light shine, it's not to be showing off or bragging. It's not about being pushy, being Bible thumping. When you get up in someone's face and you condemn them or you judge them because they're not living the way you think they should be living, letting your light shine is not being a Pharisee standing on a street corner praying so loud so everyone can see how righteous and good you are. No, letting your light shine is much more subtle than that. The right way to let our light shine is to follow Jesus' example. And how did he shine his light? Did he stand every morning at the temple and yell at people to repent and condemn them, pointing out all their flaws? No. When I was at Penn State, there was a guy with long hair and a beard who did just that. We called him the Willard Preacher because every day he stood in front of the Willard Building and he would yell at people going by to repent. If he saw a young man and woman walking hand in hand, he'd say, repent of your fornication. If he saw a young man just walking behind a young woman, he'd say, repent of your lustful, sinful thoughts. He didn't know them. And he turned a lot of people away because he just stood there condemning. No love. But how did Jesus do it? Jesus, he did it humbly. He did it humbly and through love. We shine our light by living our lives in a loving manner, by being loving to our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers. We shine our light by loving people who are different than us, who believe differently than us, through the little kindnesses that we show toward others, how we treat others, being honest in our transactions and business dealings. We don't need to say, now I'm being honest with you. No, they should know we're honest just by who we are and the way we treat other people. We shine our light by being kind to those who are hard to love. These are the ways we let our light shine. And then when it's appropriate, when the occasion arises, we say, hey, why don't you come with us to this meal at the church? Would you like to come to church with me this week? Now, I want you to imagine that I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I've heard of Christ. I've even used his name a few times in some risque jokes. But I don't know Jesus personally. But I do know you. And I'm watching you. You don't know I'm watching you, but I am. I'm observing everything you're doing. I'm watching you, what you do, how you do it, the words you're using, the jokes you laugh at, the people you associate with. And I see something different in you. I see something different. You are kind to people that others push aside. You show interest that others try to ignore. Your language is never inappropriate, and you rarely get riled up and angry. There seems to be this calmness about you. There seems to be a peace and contentment about you that amazes me, and I am intrigued. I've seen the way that you treat your wife with love, the way you care for your children with kindness. I've seen you involved in your community. You always seem to have a positive and healthy outlook on life. I've always believed that God exists, but now I see Him actually alive in you and in your life. I'm seeing a light shining out of you, and I'm strongly and intensely drawn to it. I desire that light that I see in you. I've always heard of the light of love of Jesus Christ. And this difference I see in you, could that be the light of Jesus? Maybe. Maybe this Christianity thing is real. Maybe Christianity is possible for me too. And maybe I think I want to go to church this week, but since I don't have a church and I don't know where to go, just maybe I'll follow your light and come to your church. Friends, we are in the season of Lent. It's a time of self-examination and of personal confrontation with our own sinful selves and the way we live. And this morning, what I want you to examine in your life is, are you letting your light shine? Are you letting it shine? If you are here today and claim the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the light of Christ resides in you. It pulsates through your very being. And right now, this morning, I've been seeing your light shine. When we were singing, I was seeing the light shine. But when you leave here today, when you leave here in a few minutes, will you continue to shine or will you cover it up? Will you pull the hoodie up and pull it down tight so no one can see in? And if you find yourself covering up your light, ask yourself, why? Why am I doing that? Perhaps you don't want to come across as pushy and obnoxious. Well, then don't. Love. Just simply love people. Maybe you're afraid, but afraid of what? What are you afraid of? Maybe you've been taught that your faith is a personal thing you shouldn't share with others, but friends, as your pastor, I say this with all love, you were taught wrong. You are the light of the world, and we're supposed to shine that light. As I said, we're in the season of Lent, and Lent traditionally is seen as a somber time, perhaps because it starts on Ash Wednesday when we are told of our mortality. We're reminded of our mortality and told that from dust we were created and to dust we'll return. And if we were BC people who lived before Christ, and this is all we knew, then yes, Lent would be a very depressing and terrible time. But we're not BC people, we're Easter people, and we know the end of the story, right? Yes, we walked in darkness, but the light of Jesus came into the world, and darkness could not overcome it. We could cover all these windows with dark plastic and dark fabric. We could turn off all the lights, turn off our cell phones and all the little electric things, blow out the candles. We could make it dark in here. But that darkness could never overcome the light that's within us, because darkness cannot overcome light. Although we examine ourselves during Lent for unchrist-like behavior, we are Easter people. We are children of the light. You are infused with the light of Christ. You are the light of the nations. As Paul told the Philippians, we are to shine like stars in the night sky, for you are the light of the world. So let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given us. We thank you for the light that you brought into this world. We thank you that we are now that light that reflect your glory. Lord, help us to go forth boldly and let our light shine, not to cover it up, not to hide it, but to light the way that others may come to know you as we do. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.